Moramai. Good morning. I'm Judith Lay and this is Praise, the programme that connects faith and daily life. Manx Radio. Welcome to the Praise podcast for the 17th of February 2019. Prayer, poetry and pupils protesting, that's all on the Praise menu today. And we're dipping into the archives again to hear from a very popular figure from the world of entertainment. But let's start with music, from the pen of hymn writer and worship leader Stuart Townend. O my soul, arise and bless your Maker. That was the St. Michael Singers and O My Soul, Arise and Bless Your Maker. On Friday morning, I was out walking through Selby Village when I spotted a banner in the Methodist Church porch. Hashtag Show the Love, it said. So I went inside and found our local Christian Aid representative, Louise Whiteleg, who's also an active member of Selby Methodist Church, surrounded by greenery. Green paper hearts, green embroidered hearts, green crocheted hearts. It's a campaign that's running until the end of February, and last Friday morning, Louise was joined by folk from the local community who spent a happy couple of hours making tokens of love out of any material, just as long as it was green.
Tell me, what's the purpose of this, Louise?
Do you know, it's been absolutely fantastic. It's the first time we've tried to do anything like this in the church, craft activism, we called it. So we're considering the love for our environment. It's a climate change coalition initiative from the UK, which I've unashamedly stolen for the Isle of Man because I think it's such a wonderful idea.
So let's come back to what's been happening here this morning. You've been making these beautiful hearts, crocheting little hearts that are going to be made into badges. And when you're saying share the love, what you're asking us to look at is what it is when we're doing these climate coalition outreaches. What are we loving? It's really God's creation rather than each other, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We just know, as Christians, we've been given this gift of God's kingdom, and we've got an absolute responsibility to look after it and care for it. While we're here now, we need to tread gently. We need to make sure that we don't leave any negative patterns by the time we've gone. We want to be leaving the earth, God's kingdom, in a better place than it was when we came to it. That's our obligation as human beings, as Christians, to walk gently on this earth, this beautiful gift that we've been given. We're showing the love for the things that we really should appreciate, the natural things, the green things, showing the love for our global neighbours by turning down the thermostat, by not using the disposable plastics, even little things. One triumph I had at Christmas, it's quite funny, my relatives think I'm absolutely insane. I refuse to buy the soap in the plastic dispensers anymore. So for my Christmas present, I asked for soap dishes. It's a little thing, but I've reduced the amount of plastic that I'm buying by going back to the soap bars. And if everybody did these little tiny things and showed the love for each other, we'd be in a much better place.
In addition to everybody having a really lovely time this morning making craft items, you've also asked everybody to complete a little certificate. And there's two parts of this. You're asking people to think what they're showing their love for. In this case, God's creation, our world. And then I challenge myself too. And that's bringing it down to that very personal level, isn't it, that you've just been talking about?
Yes. I mean, this time last year I was in Burundi. This time last year I was talking to people on a humanitarian programme. And I was talking to people who were dying. And these people are dying because there isn't enough crops, there isn't enough food. And a lot of that is a result of climate shocks that they're experiencing over there. And to look somebody in the eye and to know that they are living the reality of what climate change is and what the abuses are to God's kingdom is a life-changing experience, to look somebody in the eye and to walk that journey with them. How can I, as Louise, make a difference to that? And I think that's how we all feel. But by doing little bits, those little bits add up. So everybody laughed about me and my soap dishes. But now, for 2 months, I haven't bought any plastic bottles to contain soap. It's those little things.
Louise, just remind us, if people want to go on the website and get some ideas of things that they can make and share, it's theclimatecoalition.org, the website.
It is, yes, climatecoalition.org.
But would this be enough, I wonder, to satisfy the young Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, who has inspired students in 40 towns and cities across the UK to go on strike last Friday in a fight against climate change? But just who is Greta Thunberg? Well, here she is addressing a United Nations plenary session a few months ago.
My name is Greta Thunberg. I am 15 years old and I'm from Sweden. I speak on behalf of Climate Justice Now. Many people say that Sweden is just a small country and it doesn't matter what we do. But I've learned that you are never too small to make a difference. And if a few children can get headlines all over the world just by not going to school, then imagine what we could all do together if we really wanted to. But to do that, we have to speak clearly, no matter how uncomfortable that may be. You only speak of green, eternal economic growth because you are too scared of being unpopular. You only talk about moving forward with the same bad ideas that got us into this mess, even when the only sensible thing to do is pull the emergency brake. But I don't care about being popular. I care about climate justice and a living planet. Until you start focusing on what needs to be done rather than what is politically possible, there is no hope. We cannot solve a crisis without treating it as a crisis. We need to keep the fossil fuels in the ground, and we need to focus on equity. And if solutions within this system are so impossible to find, then maybe we should change the system itself. We have not come here to beg world leaders to care. We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not. The real power belongs to the people. Thank you.
15-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, who inspired environmentally conscious students in the UK to go on strike last Friday. A coalition of students from Youth Strike for Climate, the UK Student Climate Network, and the UK Youth Climate Coalition walked out of their schools on Friday, and many thousands joined protest marches to demand action from the government on global warming. The coalition says its students are driven by an alarming lack of government leadership on climate action over previous decades. They say we're running out of time for meaningful change, and that's why we're seeing young people around the world rising up to hold their governments to account on their dismal climate records. The coalition is calling on the government to educate the British public in the seriousness of global warming. They're also demanding a change to the school curriculum to include more education on climate change. Another day of strike action will be organised for Friday, March the 15th. And I can't help but believe that it's our young people, outraged by our lack of progress, who will drive forward the changes we need. I wondered if Louise Whiteleg felt the same.
We should be outraged. Looking at those people, and those people who are dying as a consequence of the climate shifts, as a consequence of a lack of food, we should be outraged. These are our brothers and sisters, and it is outrageous. We're not doing everything that we can do. And I hope that this movement continues to grow, and I hope that the politicians listen and plan now for what we can do to safeguard our future and the generations to come.
Christian Aid's Louise Whiteleg. And I'm sure that as these student protests increase, climate change is a topic we'll be revisiting again on Praise in the near future. And now let's take another look into the archives of religious broadcasting. Doug Harris is a television presenter, and here he is in conversation recorded about 10 years ago with much-loved actor Wendy Craig. Remember Not in Front of the Children, then Butterflies, Matron at the Royal, and even a cameo role in Emmerdale, to mention just a few of the many roles that this versatile actor has made her own. But it was going to a panto as a very small child that gave Wendy Craig her first experience of the theatre. And from that moment, she knew that being an actor, being on the stage, was the only thing she ever wanted to do. Today, Wendy Craig's Christian faith is of huge importance to her. But Doug Harris wondered, had it always been so? Did she grow up in a church-going family?
My parents, I think they had some sort of faith. I mean, they didn't go to church very much, but they seemed to believe in God. But the one who really led me to Jesus was my granny. She came to live with us. She was blind and quite old and frail, although looking back now, she wasn't all that old. I used to creep into her room because I loved being with her, and I knew she had a tin of sweets under the bed as well. We used to talk about all sorts of things, and I used to curl her hair, and she used to say, "Well, you make me feel very pretty." And she started teaching me about Jesus and told me Bible stories, taught me how to pray, say little prayers. And I suppose I caught really quite early a strong faith from my granny. And then I went to Durham High School for Girls, which was really quite closely affiliated to the cathedral in Durham. We were taken there for services and things. And I found in there a great sense of spirituality and a longing to be close to God. So really, my home was followed on by my school and the good teachers there who encouraged us to have faith. So when I was young, I had a really strong faith.
When you began to get into the theatre and entertainment, I mean, was it easy to live that Christian life?
I did for a while, but then so many things happened to me. I was working, I got married, I had my first child, and I gradually found that I didn't have time to go to church as often. I think quite honestly, the world took over. I had a very busy professional life. Gradually, I walked away from my faith. My husband wasn't a Christian. Not that he objected to my faith, but I didn't get any encouragement there, and we didn't share anything of it. And I really got very far away from it, to the place where I was actually asking myself, what on earth was I doing all that praying and going to church and hymn singing? What was all that about? I seemed to be able to manage perfectly well without God and all that. How wrong I was. Mm. What happened was, I'd done lots of things that I was not very happy with. And I had a great sense of shame, emptiness, longing for something I didn't know what. And it suddenly hit me. I think I was about 45. My dog died. I was very, very fond of my dog. And we used to take lovely walks together. During that time, I did feel myself really extremely happy and peaceful when I was walking my dog. And when he died, I was heartbroken, absolutely heartbroken. And I thought, whatever is the matter with me? Your dog's died. You've had other dogs die before. And then I thought, no, but with this dog, and when I'd been walking along, looking at all the beautiful things in the countryside, and I felt so close to God without realizing it. And suddenly I thought, I've got to get back to that innocence, to that security, that the confidence of knowing that God loves me. So I went down to the church and confessed that I was really sorry. And I asked God to take me back. And I felt very strongly that he did. And from that moment on, my life changed, completely changed. It's just like a cloak dropping off you, a cloak of shame kind of falls to the ground, and suddenly you feel, I'm safe, I'm safe. It's the most wonderful feeling. And God works in the most wonderful way, because I was in the butcher's about 2 days later, and this lady said to me, you're Wendy Craig, aren't you? And I said, yes. She said, I've been looking forward to meeting you, because we have a little group of women that meet on a Wednesday morning, and we have a speaker, and we talk about our faith, and we pray together, and we give each other strength. Well, she'd never met me before. She didn't know that I'd suddenly come back to the Lord. And so she said, would you like to come? Well, of course, it was God handing me on a plate exactly what I needed. Every Wednesday morning, I used to trot along with all these lovely Christian ladies, some very good speakers. They gave me so much help and encouragement, just when I needed it. Mm. That's how God works.
Through all of this, have there been any scriptures that God has really spoken to you and that you can remember?
That's funny. Actually, you should say that, because in my dressing room, I always keep this book, which is favourite passages from the Bible that I can just leaf through and get comfort from. I just copy them out into this little notebook. And I think probably I have two favourite ones. Well, I'm a very nervous person on stage. I don't have a lot of confidence. Yeah. I go out there thinking, oh, I'm really quaking with fear. But if I read this before I go out, and I usually do, it gives me the courage to get out there and do it, you know. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now that's a wonderful one, isn't it? And the other one is, I think we're always looking for peace of mind. It seems to be something that people long for. And this is Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts you.
When I'm confused, Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Baffled and bruised, Lord, show me. Show me the way. I'm afraid, Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Weak and dismayed, Lord, show me the way.
That's Sir Harry Secombe with a song written by actor Wendy Craig, our guest from the archives this week. And Wendy was talking about 10 years ago to TV presenter Doug Harris about her life and her faith. And we finish today's programme with a pause for poetry. Anne Clark's choice for us today is The Loom of Time, and the music is from a 10-part choral work by Howard Goodall entitled Every Purpose Under Heaven. This is part two. There is a Season, sung by the Enchanted Voices with the Howard Goodall Chamber Orchestra.
The Loom of Time. Man's life is laid in the loom of time to a pattern he does not see, while the weavers work and the shuttles fly till the dawn of eternity. Some shuttles are filled with silver threads and some with threads of gold, while often but the darker hues are all that they may hold. But the weaver watches with skillful eye each shuttle fly to and fro, and sees the pattern so deftly wrought as the loom moves sure and slow. God surely planned the pattern. Each thread, the dark and fair, is chosen by his master skill and placed in the web with care. He only knows its beauty and guides the shuttles which hold the threads so unattractive, as well as the threads of gold. Not till each loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God reveal the pattern and explain the reason why the dark threads were as needful in the weaver's skilful hand as the threads of gold and silver for the pattern which he planned.
Thank you for listening to this week's Praise Podcast. There's a new Praise Podcast available every Sunday morning. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify via the Manx Radio smartphone app or at manxradio.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Praise blog, the home of our notice board full of information about church services and events. Go to manxradio.com, on the homepage, click On Air, and on the drop-down menu, select the link for blogs. So, until we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for your company, and I wish you and those you love every blessing in the days ahead.